Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. Today, we are speaking with Abhishek Jain, the CEO of Beacon Dental Partners. Beacon Dental Partners is a leading Massachusetts-based dental support organization which empowers dental professionals to focus on patient care while the company provides them with leading information technology, marketing, human resource support, patient call center, and financial account functions. The company has grown to support dentist-owned practices that stretch across New England. Mr. Jain, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you.
So to kick things off here today, Mr. Jain, give us a quick rundown on your entrepreneurial background and what led you to building a dental support organization.
So, yeah, I mean, I started my career at Bain & Company. It was a consulting firm. We helped with CEOs and executives on how to grow their businesses. That's kind of how I started my career. From that, I did get my MBA at Harvard, and post-Harvard, I did the traditional path of what would pay off my student loans. So went into finance. I worked with Blackstone Group for a bunch of years, learned a lot about financial markets, what's going on with CNBC, a very helpful, kind of tidbits to understand where we are in the economic landscape. But I've always had that entrepreneurial itch. And 6 years into Blackstone, I decided that as a VP, I left and wanted to, start something. So I actually started an angel group in Boston called Thai Angels. That started out with 35 angels. Now it's like over 60. It's one of the top five angel groups in Boston. They fund close to about $200,000 to $1 million per transaction in the seed round for product-ready ideas. So there are companies that already have the product up. They probably have some kind of proof of concept and seems like something that can grow rather quick. From that, I actually went and started my own mobile app, which didn't work, and learned a lot about technology, but also learned a lot about myself that I actually like that whole background of being where helping build businesses, wanted to build them for more established cash flows. So, with starting a fund and then parlaying into dentistry, I realized that dental businesses, dental offices are a business. I think the dentist make it more like just a medical office and you just go meet the doctor and get your work done. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done. So, I think I kind of led myself to this path, which is these guys need that consulting and helpful advice and building that infrastructure. But at the same time, they don't need someone telling them how to be a dentist. That's how I kind of got myself into this.
Certainly appreciate your sharing some of your background, which helps us to understand where you're coming from a little more. Now, tell us, what is a dental service organization, or known also as DSO?
Sure. So, a dental service organization, an industry calls it some of a dental support organization, or DSO, is really like independent support centers that help, and they contract with the dental practice, and they can do it through buying the dental practice or partnering with them, where they basically run the entire business management and support functions of all non-clinical operations. So to give an example of the volume of work that we would do, number one, just the basics of leasehold negotiation, renovation, what kind of chairs and equipment and cabinets and things like that that the office needs to run. From that to human resources. So we run all hiring for the office, training, payroll management and support, any employment concerns, unemployment claims. It goes on and on about even questions about clarifying benefits and procedures, things like that. So we would run all HR support. We run all marketing support. So all, whether it's campaign design, advertising, online web management, website management design, all of that stuff we do. We do all technology, so the software enterprise, how that connects to whether it's the website or to the e-claim solution, how we bill and collect payments, stuff like that. We do a lot of education and development, so we do some training for the team and the staff. We do we manage all the supplies. So every dental supply you can think of, that is acquired, bought, is managed as a DSO because they can get a group purchase discount. They can work with large guys, get a lot of favorable benefits. So all of those kind of things that we do, it helps, you know, manage the supply costs as well. So even though we cost money to the business, we're able to reduce the cost because the company's kind of already paying for some of that. Accounting, financial management, reporting, budgeting. We do all billing and e-claims, which is a big headache for a dentist, where we file for insurance. We do the pre-auths. We collect the payment on behalf of the patient. We enter it into ledger, see if a claim got denied, why it got denied. And the office doesn't really have to be bothered with it as much. And then we also have a call center. So if there's call overflow, weekend call pickups, we would pick it up and manage it for the office.
And for anyone in the dental industry tuning in, they've got to love the sounds of this. Now, why have DSOs risen so much in popularity in the last decade?
Yeah, I mean, so DSOs used to be non-prevalent in the 70s and 80s. I mean, the idea was when you were a dentist in the 70s or 80s, you graduated with a small bit of loan, probably got it paid off, and you just kind of didn't have any debt. You just started a dental office, and there weren't that many dentists at that time to buy a practice. So you just kind of did it on your own. The shift that's taken place is that fast forward to 2019, the average dentist is today, like if I look at BU Dental, Tufts Dental, $450,000 is the cost of education for 4 years. If you assume at the age of 22 you don't have that, I'm assuming unless you're well-to-do family, you are talking about a $2,000 monthly payment, $2,100 every month for 30 years. So you've now committed at a rate of even like 4% interest. So that's incredible amounts of money that is that a doctor needs to pay. And then if you're talking about the rent, food, other insurances, you've got like $5,000-$7,000 you've already committed walking out. You just need a stable job. And you just want to go work somewhere and just make sure you can get some money. The average dentist makes around $180,000. So you can go work at a DSO, make $180,000, or you can try to buy your practice, learn all these things, and you're not going to get you may or may not be able to be effective at it. The other big change that's taking place over 40 years is the gender mix. I mean, 1970 and 80s, you had, you know, close to less than 10% women going into dentistry. Today it's 50. Now, women graduating, they are not think about themselves as anything but just want to go work for another office and have the stability of cash flow. So women actually, there's a lot of studies on this that tend to prefer DSOs more than men do by a substantial margin. I think statistics talk about, you know, close to like 50% more on affinity area that, you know, dentists actually, the female dentists prefer working at a DSO. The third reason is just the complexity and changes that happen with dental insurance. You know, in 1980, if you had dental insurance, you had $1,500 worth of, credit, or just you can call it as the value that the dental insurance will pay and cover for your dental insurance. Today, in 2019, that number is still $1,500. So over 30, 40 years, it hasn't changed. But the cost of dentistry has gone up tenfold, even more. You know, a crown used to be like $150. Today it's $1,500, $2,000. So before, you could have 5-7 crowns covered. Today it's barely one. And then there's every reason the insurance has come up with to deny you. Oh, you know, 90 days of you need to be already covered before you're eligible. You could not do that procedure every, 4 years because it's every 5-year policy for that insurance. So if you did it every 4, therefore you got denied. You know, cleanings are every 6 months. So if you did 5 months and 30 days, you got denied. So dentists cannot manage every rule and regulation of an insurance policy. And that's made their margins and their profitability actually go down, trying to run it themselves. OSHA HIPAA regulations, state regulations that force you to maintain CE credits for everyone, you know, cleanliness of the office, you know, laundry services for the uniforms, and it goes on and on. So I think that the popularity is just a burden, in a summary. The burden, the heavy burden that a dentist faces in running an office and is almost relieved when it's like, hey, can you just do this? I would rather just be a dentist. And that's actually what, when you go to a dental office, what are you going for? You want to make sure the dentist is focused on you and your mouth and not, I got to get this claim out in between a procedure, right? So.
And isn't that the truth? And that is another reason why folks should reach out to you or a DSO in their area for sure. This is awesome information. Today we are joined by Abhishek Jain, the CEO of Beacon Dental Partners, which is a leading Massachusetts-based dental support organization. The company has grown to support dentist-owned practices that stretch across New England here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Abhishek, tell us, why do dentists sell or partner with a dental service organization? Touch on some of those details.
So the reason they would sell one is just the idea, or a partner, is just the idea of the fact that they just don't want that burden anymore. They are looking for someone to go and handle all of those support functions and are just wanting to go return to be a dentist. And that's why you've seen a lot of them do it. Now, they do a different model. Some do it as, you know, I'd rather just sell my practice too, so I don't even have to own anything and feel like I'm obligated by any kind of regulatory issues to have it, and just let them own it. And some are like, well, I'd rather still own it, but I'll pay them a fee and partner with them and get them to do it. So there's different models how to do it, but that's the main reason. The other big reason is to maintain competitiveness. I mean, if you look at the online market, the advertising market, who gets all the new patients, a lot of the DSOs, very well-run businesses, are the ones that are growing and are able to get the offices. I mean, there's some stats out there that, you know, revenues for solo practitioners are structurally on a decline, but revenue for DSOs are still structurally increasing, you know, modestly, but it still is. So there is some competitiveness to the idea that they can do everything and just focus on the dentistry. So that's kind of generally why they would want to sell and or they would want to partner.
And also, Mr. Jain, another question for you. Those that are considering a DSO partnership, what are things dentists should look for in a DSO partner?
So, I mean, every dentist needs to ask themselves one thing, which is, what is their philosophy of dentistry, and does it align with the purchasing dentist? That is pretty much number one. There are every dentist has a different type of philosophy. Some are small differences and can nudge around the differences. Some are radical. Some only believe in holistic dentistry and no mercury. Some believe that only amalgam fillings is the only way to do dentistry. And you have to find someone that kind of has a rough alignment to you, as well as someone who's going to commit to your legacy. So, and if that's something that's important to you, meaning that, you know, for us at Beacon Dental Partners, we want to make sure that we not only buy or partner with the right business, but we want to make sure we focus on operational continuity to make sure everything is the way it used to be, stable employee relations, and maintain that unique culture that each office has. We like to maintain that house of brands approach, independent brands that run the way they want. And while it may feel corporatized and a McDonald's in the back end, the front end patient should always feel something different. The other thing they should look at is who they're working with as a DSO. Is it a locally focused DSO that has, like us, that, you know, is really focused on local market, know each city, zone, zip code, street, or someone who's a national chain, what I call the mega DSOs, Heartland, Aspen Dental, you know, Western Dental, small brands. These guys are 100, 200, 300 offices. Some are almost hitting 1,000 now. So when you get to that large, you're just another office number, and you're part of their strategic growth in that state, but they could potentially care less about if it's over here in one location or another. And then the third thing that you really want to look at is, what is their track record of success? And, you know, I want dentists to be fooled that a large multi-chain office that has hundreds of offices is the most successful. They could have the least profitability. They could have massive employee turn. They could have a situation where they've actually destroyed value. I mean, we know DSOs, like 40, 50 offices, where they had to close five, and that's your legacy. Your legacy office was shut down. because they just could not manage it effectively. They had to move the patient, the records, to a nearby office. I mean, for us at Beacon Dental Partners, we really are not only looking to buy the right practice, but we want to build upon their legacy. And we actually have a great track record. And we have that because we maintain that exceptional dentistry. But we do it by still maintaining that independent brand and the unique identity. That's kind of a quick summary of the few things that a dentist should really look for.
I have no doubt there's a lot of folks tuning in that are appreciative of what you do, and not only directly but indirectly, and also wishing that you did cover their area if they're outside of the New England area. So really some great information here and a lot to consider if you're in the dental industry. As we conclude today, any closing thoughts, a tip, a takeaway, anything else you'd like to share along the lines of our conversation today?
The thing is that the big tip would be, as a dentist, you should have to look upon yourself to say, do you really want to run an office or do you want to be a dentist? That's the most important thing. If people feel like, no, I want to run it, then I think they should continue doing it. If they feel like they want to be a dentist, that's what they signed up for, then they should consider DSO.
Certainly a strong and a very true statement, and we thank you for what you do in the space and for joining us here today on behalf of Beacon Dental Partners. Where can folks get more information online on your firm and also be in touch accordingly?
www.beacondso.com. You can also email us at request@beacondso.com.
And that certainly works, and we'll leave a link within the show notes of this broadcast. Again, Mr. Jane, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you for having me.
And it certainly was our pleasure. Anytime. We've been speaking with Abhishek Jane, the CEO of Beacon Dental Partners. Beacon Dental Partners is a leading Massachusetts-based dental support organization, and for all the details and for contact, visit beacondso.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.